Thank you so much for your attendance on this Independence Day weekend. I pray that it'll be a blessing to you. Well, on the Sunday before the 4th of July, the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Commission, or the ERLC, has designated this particular Lord's Day as Citizenship and Religious Liberty Sunday. Last month in our Southern Baptist Convention's meeting in Phoenix, Arizona, I was elected to be Georgia's representative to the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. And I'm looking forward to representing the constituency of our Georgia Baptist denomination. And I would appreciate your prayers, as I've been entrusted with representing our people, beginning with this church and extending out to the 3,600 churches of the Georgia Baptist Mission Board. I've been given a unique perspective to represent our constituency, beginning with the fact that I'm a pastor of this wonderful church, First Baptist Church Noonan, which has a wonderful legacy and history of supporting ethics and religious liberty. And that has been also extended to the fact that for the past several years, I have been on the Georgia Baptist Mission Board's Executive Committee. And then for a few less years now, I have been blessed to serve with 8 other pastors on the Georgia Baptist Administration Committee. And we get to deal with a lot of behind-the-scenes matters and concerns for the Georgia Baptist Mission Board. And so I look forward to using those forums and experience to represent our constituency over these next 4 years. My first meeting as a trustee with the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission will be the last week in August in Nashville. We will from time to time meet in Washington, D.C., and certainly we solicit your intercession on our behalf as we seek God's wisdom as the public policy arm of the Southern Baptist Commission. Well, it is interesting that we have a mission statement on the screen that pretty much sums up what we are tasked with. I'll read it for you. You can see it. It says, the ERLC, or Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, exists to assist churches by helping them understand the moral demands of the gospel, apply Christian principles to moral and social problems and questions of public policy, and to promote religious liberty in cooperation with the churches and other Southern Baptist entities. Today, on this Citizenship and Religious Liberty Sunday in the Southern Baptist Convention, and in the Sundays leading up to August 20th, the last Sunday I will stand here before going to my first board meeting with the ERLC, I will be preaching a message or a series of messages, 7 messages on matters of concern for Christians in our United States of America. And I want you to know that there are many issues that we need to have our voice heard on as Christians and as Southern Baptists in particular. I want to show you that the logo that is up at the top left hand of your screen there has a lot of symbolism in it. And beginning with the red circle symbolizes the shed blood of Jesus Christ that covers the sins of the world, enabling us to engage our culture with the saving message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, we would have no hope of salvation. And that is first and foremost in our minds as Christians and as representatives of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. Also, you will notice several other symbols here in the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission logo that have significance in their symbolism. At the base of the logo, you will notice an open Bible. And that open Bible also looks very similar to a dove in flight. It connotes a dove in flight, like the Holy Spirit is symbolized by a dove at the baptism of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. And we must know that our basis for everything we do as a church, as individual Christians, and certainly as a denomination, must be based on what is written here in the Word of God. We are also dependent upon the Holy Spirit using the truths that are found here in the Word of God to empower us for our assignment as believers in this lost and dying world. Apart from His power, we can do absolutely nothing. But with Him, all things are possible. The arm of man, the arm of flesh, will fail us every time. And sadly, we as Christians, and in particular as Southern Baptists, have relied much too often on man's ability to right things instead of relying upon the power of Almighty God through the Holy Spirit. We must seek God first if we're going to be able to engage the battle that God has commissioned us for. Then notice rising out of that open Bible is a crown. It serves as the centerpiece of this logo, and it is also the centerpiece of our mission as believers. That crown reminds us of the kingdom of God and that Jesus is our victorious king. He is the ruler. He is the one who is sitting on the throne. It doesn't matter who is sitting in the Oval Office. All that matters is that we remember that Jesus is our sovereign Lord of the universe. And two things you can always be confident in saying about First Baptist Church Noonan from these two symbols that we've already pointed out to you, and that is that we are number one, Bible-based, and number two, Christ-centered. It is disappointing to see how many churches have left those two distinctives. The Bible no longer has the place that it used to have in the pulpits and in the classroom and in the daily life of the believer. We are a people of the book. We are Bible-based, but not only that, we are Christ-centered. Just as the centerpiece of this logo, the crown of Jesus, connotes. It is sad how many churches have drifted away not only from being Bible-based, but Christ-centered. They center themselves around other good things. Their focus is on other good things, but not on the best thing. They might be known for a particular ministry. As wonderful as our music ministry is here, there are churches that are known for their music ministry. And I know the last thing that Lee Chitwood would want for First Baptist to be first and primarily known for is our music ministry. He wants our church to be Christ-centered, not music-centered, not youth-centered, not centered on anything else but the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. May it always be so in this First Baptist Church of Noonan. Just because it's true today does not mean that it'll be true tomorrow. and 5 years from now, and 10 years from now. It is interesting how institutions, not just educational institutions like Harvard and Yale and Princeton, but churches as institutions, when they drift, you never hear of them drifting to the right, do you? You never hear of Harvard or Yale or Princeton or even a church drifting to the right. If there is going to be a drift in any institution, including the Church of the Living God, it is always to the left. That's why we must constantly hold each other's feet to the fire when it comes to being Bible-based and Christ-centered. That is also the commitment of your Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. It is Christ-centered and Bible-based. And then rising out of that crown are three stars, symbolizing our three main priorities in engaging social communication with our world. The first star symbolizes kingdom. We'll say more about that later. Then culture, and then finally, mission. Well, let's take this apart symbol by symbol, using scripture to show why it is so important to us, beginning with the Bible. The Bible is a book that stands above any other book that's ever been written because it is inspired by God. It is God's truth. We do not stand in judgment of this book. It stands in judgment of us. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, the Bible says all scripture, not some scripture, not most scripture, but all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means that it is breathed by God. Now, there are some people who will say, you know, Shakespeare is inspired. And I understand when people say that Milton and Shakespeare are inspired. They mean that it's an extra level of inspiration when it comes to human terms of inspiration. But the inspiration of Shakespeare and Milton and on and on and on we go never, ever will equal the inspiration of the Word of God, because this is the only book that has been God-breathed and inspired by God. We can have absolute confidence in the truth and the relevance of what is being taught here to our daily situations in life. You know, I hear people sometime in Christian circles say, the Bible contains the Word of God. Be careful with some of these statements. This book, when you say it contains the Word of God, leaves room for the idea that there might be some things in here that are not the Word of God. We should never say this book contains the Word of God. The correct thing to say is this book is the Word of God. It is God-breathed. It is a standard for all we do as Christians. It also informs us about, number two, the kingdom of God. I've given you a couple of scriptures there for the kingdom of God. Simon Peter certainly recognized the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was the sovereign ruler over the universe when he, in his great confession of faith, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, said this to Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Now listen to this, verse 18. "And I also say to you, Peter," the original language is, his name for Peter is Cephas. It means little rock. Keep that in mind. "And on this rock," not Cephas, the little rock, but on this rock, the profession of faith, the confession of faith that Peter has just made, you are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Some people have misinterpreted that and said, okay, Christ is saying that he's building his church on Peter. But that is not what Christ is saying, because whenever it talks about this rock, remember Cephas is a little rock. This rock is a different kind of rock. It's a Gibraltar of a rock. And that's what Peter's confession of faith was. It was a Gibraltar of a profession of faith. Jesus, you are the Christ. Christ meaning the anointed one. You're the Messiah that's come to this earth to set everything right. You are the sovereign King of kings and Lord of lords. Upon you, dear God, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, upon you, little rock, Peter, you've said so rightly, but upon this rock, your profession of faith, I build my church, and not even the gates of hell will be able to prevail against it. Oh, we ought to be grateful for the fact that Jesus tells us that the devil can throw everything at us that he wants to throw at us, but the church will always be here because Jesus is the King of the church. Paul made it clear that Jesus is our sovereign when he wrote over in the book of Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, therefore God has highly exalted him, Jesus, and given him, Jesus, the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Now, not everybody in Washington, D.C., or even Noonan, Georgia today is willing to bow their knee before King Jesus and confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord. But according to this scripture, the day is coming, whether they want to or not, whether on this earth or under this earth, they will bow their knee to King Jesus and with their own lips will say that he is Lord. We worship the sovereign of this universe, and that should give us supreme confidence as we go up to that first star, which is the kingdom. Christians are not losers. They are kings according to the word of God. I know we've talked about Jesus being the King of kings, but did you know that if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, you also are royalty? That's what 1 Peter 2:9 says. It says you are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. So many Christians go around with a loser's mentality, thinking that they will never be on the winner's side. Friend, you're already on the winner's side because your king is sovereign of this universe and he has made you his child, thus making you royalty and a king yourself. We are not losers, but we have the power of Almighty God. I want to tell you the kind of mentality we ought to have about First Baptist Noonan. First Baptist Noonan is a kingdom colony. Yes, it's a church. And as such, it is a kingdom colony. And it has the power of Almighty God working through it. That's why we need to speak plainly, clearly, and prophetically to a lost and dying world without Jesus. Where is the power located in the United States of America? The power is not located in the Capitol. Listen to me, Christians. The power of God is located in this kingdom colony amongst you kings. And we need to start living like it and acting like it. The reason a lot of us aren't, the reason many of us are not living at the level of royalty that Jesus purchased for us by his shed blood on the cross is because we're not fulfilling another scripture I put up there on the screen for you, Matthew 6:33, where Jesus said we should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to us. You see, many of us have not put Jesus as number one on our list of priorities, and we've certainly not put his righteousness number one on our list of priorities. It's way down there somewhere. But when we as kings and princes and priests of a holy nation seek first our risen King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and as we put first his righteousness in our thoughts, in our actions, in our words, then all these things will be added unto you. So we need to live like it. We need to remember that Jesus said in John 18:36, "My kingdom is not of this world." This is his kingdom colony, and other churches like it that are Bible-based and Christ-centered. Go on and look at that second star. It represents the culture that we're supposed to impact. Christ's ministry is to engage all cultures that are within our kingdom colony and outside our kingdom colony. And he made that plain over in the Gospel of Luke when he described his ministry to different kinds of cultures that were in his world in that day, cultures that still exist to this day. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," is what Jesus said, "because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." That's the first culture that Jesus said that he desired to impact. We have the poor amongst us and around us and in our society. It is a culture that we are called to make an impact upon. But he didn't stop there. He said, "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Within this building, there are people who are brokenhearted, who are torn and bleeding emotionally from all the trials and difficulties of this life. There are people that are ripped to smithereens in their families and brokenhearted because of it. There are people that are brokenhearted because of other situations in their lives. But not only in this kingdom colony, in this church, that culture exists, but that culture exists outside of this church. And we as blood-bought believers should impact that culture as Christ commissioned himself to do. He said also there in Luke 4, verse 18, that he was called to proclaim liberty to the captives. We do that each and every Sunday here whenever we offer an invitation to those who are bound by sin and the devil to come forward and receive Jesus and his free offer of grace so that they might be set free from the power and penalty and presence of sin. And we will continue to weekly make that invitation. And we should do that not only from this pulpit, but we should do it in our daily lives, in the cultures that we are called to impact. And he also said he was commissioned to help those who were blind, not only physically, but spiritually, and to set at liberty the oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. What does that mean? It means Jesus is coming again. And this kingdom colony right here is looking forward to the day when our King of Kings will split the eastern sky and he will set all things right. And that's our hope. That's our future. And that's our message to this lost and dying world. We are not losers. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And he is coming as our risen and returning King to set all things right. But then there is one final star, and that signifies our mission. Just as Christ was sent on a mission to this world, we are sent on a mission to this world. Christ described his own mission in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, when he said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve," and listen to this, "give his life as a ransom for many." That means that Jesus paid the price for my salvation by his shed blood on the cross of Calvary. Jesus' mission sent him all the way to the cross of Calvary. I've got news for you, fellow kings. Our mission will always send us to the cross, our own personal crosses. That's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. He says, "If you desire to come after me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me." You know what could be happening right here at this very moment? God could be using this open word and the Spirit of God that is here in this building and convicting people of sin and righteousness and judgment to bring you to the place in your life where you realize you've been the one that's been on the throne. You've been the king. You've been the one that's been calling the shots. But now you want to take the crown off of your head, and you want to get off the throne and allow Jesus to take his rightful place on the throne of your heart. He's using this open word and the Holy Spirit to show you your need of a Savior, your need of a ruler in your life. You've been calling all the shots up to this point, and your life shows it. It's time to let him be the one that dictates what is right in your life. If you would receive him today, he will make you a king. You will be a holy nation. You will be a royal priesthood. And not only that, you will be given the power to impact your culture at school, at work, in your home, in your neighborhoods, in your circles of influence. And you will be able to fulfill the mission that Jesus gave to us in the last chapter of the first book of the New Testament called the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verse 19, where Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The first order of business in that commission is for us to lead people to Christ so that they can become disciples or followers of Christ. And the second component of that Great Commission is once we've led people to faith in Christ and they've become his disciples, we are to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Some of you have trusted Christ, but maybe you've not taken that second step in that commission, and that's to be baptized. The King makes it very plain that he wants you to follow him in total and complete obedience. And maybe during this time of commitment today, you will come and say, "You know, I've never been saved. I can't call myself a follower of Christ, a disciple of Christ. But today, I want to surrender to him as my King and as my Savior. And as such, I want to follow him in baptism." Maybe you've already trusted him. Maybe it's been years ago, but you've never been baptized. Maybe it's the fact that you have already been saved. You've already been baptized, but you've never joined the life of a church here locally. You've moved your furniture. You've moved the dog. You've moved everything else, but you haven't moved your membership. And maybe God is speaking to you that it's time to move your membership into the life of this kingdom colony and start operating out of this kingdom colony. Maybe it's just the fact that God is speaking to your heart about your need for prayer. Prayer for this nation, certainly, but prayer for our homes, prayer for our church, prayer for our fellow churches that are Bible-based and Christ-centered. God's invitation is open to all of us right now as we bow our heads and go before Him in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Jesus. We thank You for this opportunity now to say yes to You. And Father, for that person who needs a Savior, who needs a ruler in their life because they've made a mess of their lives themselves, we pray that You might bring them to that place of accepting You by faith. Father, for those that need membership, some by baptism, some just by saying, you know, I've already been saved, I've already been baptized, but I don't have a church home. Father, I pray that You might bring them into this kingdom colony. Father, we pray also for those that have needs, all the different cultures that are represented in the life of this church. Father, we surrender ourselves to You as we impact the cultures not only in this church, but around us. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.